The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Justin Tinsley, Israel Gutierrez, Sarah Spain, George Sedano. You smell that? Mustiness in the air. Must win for the Lakers. Must win for the Clippers. Must win for any of you guys? How long has it been, George Sedano? Let's go.
Too long. Too long, reality.
It's ever since I noticed you had the highest Twitter win percentage on the show. That's what it's been.
You've been calling the games like you were Tony Brothers.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh, wow, wow.
Nothing in the world is unanimous. It's impossible to get everyone to agree on any one thing. Except when Anthony Davis said he had to play better, everybody in the world was like, yeah, man, you got to play better. You really got to. Everybody agreed. The Lakers down 0-1 like last year in round one. But this is Phoenix. This team is different. This team is Eaton with Ayton in game one. George Sedano, around the horn to you. Who's the most important player on the floor tonight? Is it LeBron? Is it Davis? Could it be Paul, Booker, or Ayton?
It's Anthony Davis, the guy we saw in that clip the most. And here's the telling stat of the Lakers' plight in game one. The Phoenix Suns had an offensive rebound rate of 42% in that game. That's a lot on Anthony Davis. By the way, the best in the league this season was the New Orleans Pelicans at 29%. So that just goes to show you how out of sorts Anthony Davis was when it came to that game. He also didn't impose his will, Tony. He's the most dynamic player on that floor, and that says a lot with LeBron James on the floor. But whether it's the inside game or the outside game, he is the guy that's a complete cheat code. He can do it all. DeAndre Ayton was way too comfortable in that game, both on offense, on defense, and a lot of that rested at the feet of Anthony Davis.
Sarah Spain, bring you in here. Most important player tonight.
Yeah, people are unanimous for a reason. Anthony Davis needs to embrace the five role. We've seen that it doesn't look good when he and Drummond are on the floor together. So he needs to take over the five spot. And again, he needs to work inside the paint. His jump shooting just doesn't back up his desire to be outside. If he's going to be in there with Drummond, then at least take advantage of the mismatch of having Crowder on you by going deep. Clear out Drummond and try to get those points in the paint. I want to add, too, because we're all going to talk, I think, about Anthony Davis. LeBron James shot 54% of his shots from outside the arc and didn't score a single point on a drive in this game. So we can't ignore how much he has to make himself a part of this game as well and not sit outside.
Israel Gutierrez, we got some ideas that it's Anthony Davis, but also Anthony Davis needing to play the five. You can start there.
Okay, well, I will say this. You've got DeAndre Ayton on the other side at the five. That was his first playoff game. You cannot only shoot three of your shots at the rim against a guy playing in his first playoff game if you're Anthony Davis. You have to be dominant here. If you look at sort of the four main players here, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, only one of them, even though Sarah just mentioned how LeBron wasn't really aggressive going to the rim, and that's absolutely true, only one of them played quite differently than what you expect, and that's Anthony Davis. So whether it comes from him getting to the rim more, whether it comes from him dominating the boards more, whether it just comes from him maybe even getting DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble, which he could easily do, it's something that would be hugely beneficial for the Lakers. So if there's one of those four, it's absolutely Anthony Davis.
Justin Tinsley now.
I could be a troll and try to be a contrarian and try to say somebody else, but no, this is absolutely an Anthony Davis game, man. Look, obviously, we see how, for LeBron, game one was a typical feel-out game for him. I expect him to be a lot more aggressive in this. And for Anthony Davis, you know, if you go back to last postseason, he started out slow against the Portland Trailblazers, and then from game two on, he averaged 30 points and shot 60% for the rest of the series. You hope that happens this year. And for the Lakers, they just have to come to grips with this reality, and I think they know it. Like, they play their best when Anthony Davis is at the five, and I really hope they embrace that moving forward because that is the best Lakers team.
George Sedano back in.
Tony, real quick, if you look at what the Warriors did in that play-in game and what the Suns did in this first game, they are giving the Lakers the three-point shot. They're not a good three-point shooting team. They're 21st in the league. 24 of the 26 attempts, okay, were open or wide open looks, according to NBA stats and info.
It's very odd for me to hear. It's just like flipping a switch. But is it just like flipping a switch for Anthony Davis? So many players get judged by how they play in the postseason, right? And Davis didn't have that experience until last year. And then you would think when they win it all, it would be different. But it hasn't been the case for him, Israel.
Well, it's a little bit different because even though he is the guy that we all say is the most important player on that team to perform well for them to be elite, have we seen him sort of get into a rhythm? Is he the number one guy, or is it LeBron sort of setting everything up and, hey, let's get AD going for a little bit, let's do this, let's do that? If it's going to be on AD, then it's got to be his team. And I don't know if that really is something that he's very comfortable with, because he did that for so long in New Orleans and didn't really reach that high level, nor do I think LeBron's really comfortable with saying, hey, AD, this is your team now, I'm 36. So we just got to see how long this formula can work, or whether they need a couple extra pieces around them to be more of a threat.
All right, make a pick for tonight's game. Justin Tinsley, does the switch get flipped? Do the Lakers even the series?
Yeah, we're going back to L.A. tied at one.
Israel?
I'm going to take Phoenix.
Sarah Spain?
I think the Lakers win tonight.
George Sedano?
Lakers.
We'll move on. L.A.'s other team, the Clippers, in game two tonight versus Dallas. And how out of sync that L.A. team was in game one in their loss. How Paul George started that game and how Luka had his way the whole game, and how we never really saw Kawhi Leonard on Luka Doncic. Israel, around the horn to you. Is Leonard on Luka a change the Clippers need to make tonight to even the series and the rest of the way in this matchup?
Well, according to Second Spectrum, there was 11 half-court matchups between those two where Kawhi was the defender, and Luka did not attempt a shot in any of those situations for whatever reason, whether he just passed it off or just didn't get a look that he wanted. And so if you're telling me that, hey, that's going to be the result, not even a single shot in 11 times, yeah, I think you should probably start off there. There's no disrespect to Nicholas Batum. It might just be a reputation thing. Luka might just not want to be as aggressive against Kawhi as he would be against a Batum who's, you know, just really long and has a really good defender as well. But overall, I don't think it's just the defense on Luka. I think the Clippers offensively really have to step up. You saw that shot from Paul George there. He kind of reminds me of the Jack Nicholson Joker where he's just like, wait, till they get a load of me, but he doesn't actually show them anything. He just really wants to talk about it. So I think the Clippers have been, just for 2 years now, not just 1 year, just sort of a collection of we don't know. We don't really know how good they can be. We don't know if they can be consistent for a long time. And frankly, I just have more faith in the Mavericks right now.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, as you just mentioned, the Clippers on offense, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Marcus Morris, they shot 3-for-20 in threes in game one. In the regular season, that trio shot 43%, so they got to get it together on the offensive end. And if I'm looking at the Clippers, where is this sense of urgency? You know, for 2 years, we still really don't understand the makeup of this team. They have really good players, and they need to operate on my 2-1-1 formula, Tony. The 2-1-1 formula is your best player, Kawhi Leonard, needs to get you two wins. Your second best player, Paul George, needs to get you at least one win. And then Rajon Rondo, Boogie Cousins, or somebody will give you that fourth win. At this point, the Dallas Mavericks already have one of those four. And this is not a must-win game. You never want to say game two when the open round is a must-win. But with this team and with this history, it's the closest thing you could probably get to without actually saying
mustiness. And the 2-1-1 formula, which when you said it, you made me hit the algorithm. And I look behind you with that algorithm. And then I realized we're just talking about 2-1-1, and that's not as complex, but I appreciate it. Go ahead, George Sedano.
Here's my formula. If you're the Clippers, just win. No matter what that takes, just find a way to win. Yes, having Kawhi on him is going to be important, Tony. But it's funny because I had that game, the game one, and in those coaches' interviews, coaches don't always reveal what they're going to say. But Ty Lue literally said to me when I said, Luka's gone for 31 points, how do you limit that? He says, we're going to trap him. We're going to take the ball out of his hands. And that's exactly what they did. Now, credit to the Dallas Mavericks. They hit shots, okay? Everyone not named Luka hit shots. Is that a recipe for success moving forward? I don't know. But I will say this. The Clippers need to attack the paint more because they settled for a ton of jumpers, which has been their big problem this season. They complain about not getting to the line, but here's the thing. You got to force the referees to make those calls. 12 shots. 7 were threes, 3 more in the mid-range, not enough shots at the rim.
Sounds to me, though, you think Clippers can turn it on tonight and get that win, George.
Yes, I do think they even
it up. Sarah, how about you?
My formula is a 4-3-2-1. You have to win 4 games and only let the opposing team win 3-2 or 1. Or 0. That works too. But either way, I actually feel better about the Clippers than you might after that first game. And I like the idea of seeing Kawhi on Luke, and I think he should do that. He's a two-time defensive player of the year. Want to see the claw set up against the guy that always crushes you. What we've seen in the regular season is that, unfortunately, this team, which led the league in three-point shooting percentage, doesn't fare well beyond the arc against the Mavericks for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But could it be just luck in a small sample size? It's not the defense that's happening. It's the shots that aren't falling. So, yes, put Kawhi on Luka. And, yes, do a lot of what you did in that first game and see if the rest of the Mavs can beat you, because all you need to do is shoot reasonably. You're the third-ranked offense in the league, and you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Who you got, Sarah?
I got the Clippers tonight.
Israel?
Mavericks again.
Dinsley.
Wow. Mavericks going up 2-0.
Mm-hmm. One more story here.
No, I got the Clippers, Tony.
I know, George. You've said that already. We'll move on. Aaron Rodgers on the Kenny Mays send-off last night on SportsCenter. His first public comments this offseason.
Never been about the draft pick. You know, picking Jordan, I love Jordan. He's a great kid. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates. You know, love the fan base in Green Bay. Incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go.
Sarah, everybody was waiting for public comments from Rodgers. There they are. Do you hear somebody who's done, moving on, or a guy who, for maybe, there's a chance for reunion?
Shout out to my guy, Kenny Mayne, for getting that exclusive on his way out. We're going to miss him. I heard the same thing we always heard. This is about a team who thinks that they're great regardless of who's playing for them, and a player who knows that they are nothing without him. If he wanted out, he would have been Julio Jones in it and said, I'm out of here, or made something more definitive. I think what he said says, you got to just fix what's going on behind the scenes and I'll stick around.
Although, I think Aaron knew he was on TV right there. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I mean, it just makes me question who sort of creates and sets the philosophy here. He's in, you know, he's good with his coach. He's good with his players. He's good. It's just obviously the front office. It's the decision makers there. And whether it just is a communication thing or a respect thing, it does feel like it can be fixed. So maybe this is encouraging for the Packers.
Justin Tinsley.
Like Sarah said, shout out to the living legend that is Kenny Mayne. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, I said a couple of weeks ago, I was 55% that he won't be on that Packers roster, roster week one. Now I'm about 65% that he won't be. Look, the respect is gone, and we've been in jobs. If you don't feel respected at your job with your higher-ups, it's going to make everybody miserable. When your starting quarterback is miserable, so is the franchise.
And George.
Tony, this is about the stubbornness of that front office, man. This is like when you buy a brand new couch and you want to make it fit in the room and then you realize the dimensions don't work in the room. I know he said it wasn't about Jordan Love the guy, okay, but this is about Jordan Love the player. If Jordan Love was better, they would have traded Rodgers already. This is about the stubbornness of the Packers.
Sarah, Justin, thank you for your thoughts on Kenny Mayne. And I know, George and Israel, you would echo that. For me, he was the host of the first show I ever worked for on this network. Independent of that, though, we will never have another Kenny Mayne. We say goodbye to the only one we ever could have. And you couldn't try to explain Kenny's broadcasting oeuvre to someone and ever come close to the masterpiece that he was. He was Picasso. The lines were squiggly, the pans were dead, and everything was living and breathing. So let's prepare a spread of the finest meats and cheeses to an icon, Mr. Kenny Mayne.
Love you, Kenny.
We love you, Kenny.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Connecticut Sun coach Kurt Miller suspended tonight. Won't be on the sidelines for the game versus Seattle and was fined $10,000. Sunday's game, he was upset about Liz Cambage, an opponent on the floor, getting her way on the court, told the referees something to the effect of, come on, she's 300 pounds. Miller's admitting it's inappropriate, says it wasn't directed at Cambage, and that he's remorseful for it. Here's Cambage.
If there's one thing about me is that I will never let a man disrespect me. Ever, especially a little white one. And next time you try to disrespect me, remember, I'm 235. It might seem like 300 pounds to your little
Sarah, I'm what type of situation baby. Does the NBA have here? Was the suspension necessary?
Well, I understand Cambage's response there because as a 6'8" woman, no doubt she's had to deal with a lot of judgment from society about whether she fits beauty standards. And if you're not sure if she does, go to her Insta and check it out because her body is banging. But I'm sure she's used to hearing this. And so for Kurt, I don't think a suspension of fine is necessary. I think a simple apology is. We want equality in sports, but we can't have it in a vacuum. So we do have to respect and understand the way society has imbued women all of our lives with the value of our aesthetics coming first and how that affects our value and our brands when that's challenge. But I don't think he was coming from a bad place. I think he was coming from the same place people were when they used to try to get calls against Shaq in the middle using his body.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I don't think he was coming from a bad place either, but I'm fine with the suspension as precedent for the WNBA. And here's why. You know, we talk about men's bodies other times in sports, but obviously women have more issues with body image because of society and how it treats them than men do. And Kurt Miller is a coach who has coached women throughout his career. He knows what their weights are. He knows that that was a harmful exaggeration, and he can take responsibility and take the suspension and move on and just understand that, hey, anytime this happens in the future, regardless if it's a weight comment or something else that's insulting, we are going to take this very seriously.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, this opens up the conversation for historically, men have tried and still try to take agency over women's bodies. But I also agree that I don't think Miller meant that maliciously, but I'm also not mad at Liz reacting the way that she does because we don't know how long she's had to deal with remarks like that. But on a much more upbeat note, I will say this for bulletin board material, Aces at Sun June 1st. Guess who's going to be watching that? This guy.
George Sedano, right. Do you believe a suspension was necessary?
Tony, I do. I'm buying what the WNBA did here because this isn't the first time he's jawed at an opponent and their players. So if you go back to June 15, 2019, Sun Lynx, there was an issue as Karima Christmas Kelly was checking into the game. He was jawing at her for some reason, and both he and Coach Reeve got double technicals there in that situation. So because of that and this history, I do think...
To hear Sarah's point, though, Shaq, dominating with size-wise in a game, could that not be the explanation here, George?
Sure, it could be the explanation, but I think what the WNBA is trying to curtail here is the jawing between coach and the opposing player.
Another story, another league dealing with an issue. NFL reviewing coach Eugene Chung's claim a team official told him he wasn't the right minority to hire during a job interview. Chung says he will not share the name of the person, doesn't want to shame somebody. Justin Tinsley, how do you consider this, and should the NFL want to know the name and team?
You know, is why we're having this conversation on the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's passing, and people try to say that he was a sacrifice. He didn't sacrifice his life. He lost his life. And Chung, to a different extent, he doesn't want to sacrifice his career by naming this individual and this team. So while I may not agree, I can't be mad at him trying to think about himself. And for the NFL, of course I would want to know who this person is because this is just another example of a qualified candidate getting blackballed from a job.
George Dano.
Tony, as the son of as a first generation here in this particular country, a son of immigrants and exiles, like, I get this, right? Like, you are told, put your head down, don't make waves. But this generation, like mine, right? Like, once you've been here, you've established yourself, you try to push those boundaries. And I think he's doing that by bringing recognition to this, right? That this is a terrible situation, but not outing them is smart in this regard. Let's face it, we've seen retribution happen, whether it's the NFL or any Fortune 500 company. A lot of these big corporations have situations like this. So I get why he's a bit, you know, a little trepidation. There's a little trepidation on his part.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of a lot of people. They're often victimized and then further victimized by the response they get to reporting it. And in this case, there might be retribution from the league if he names someone. I would rather he do it behind the scenes. The bigger issue to me here is this is representative of teams not understanding the Rooney Rule, of deciding they're going to hire because of something instead of looking across the candidates and hiring in spite of anything. And if they're constantly going to look at it through the lens that he exposed here, it's never going to work. And that's why we haven't seen it truly take.
The quote that bothered me reading is the supposed person saying, hey, we don't consider you a minority when, you know, Asian population is, what, 6% of this country. It just goes to show me that we're looking at this wrong. And if I'm the NFL, I don't necessarily want to know who, what specific person. I want to know how many teams think this way, and then we can address it in the greater scope.
Really appreciate your thoughts on both those topics. And George, Sarah, we're going to say goodbye real quick. Showdown, Gutierrez, Tinsley, 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Justin, Israel, only time for one showdown. Some pivotal game fives yesterday on the ice. Islanders, Panthers, Wild getting wins. But for the Islanders, in double overtime, Pittsburgh rookie Tristan Jarry failed clear out, ends the game. Is that loss on the rookie goaltender or on the Penguins for not being able to break through on Sorokin on 50 shots, Israel?
I mean, it's got to be on that goaltender there. Look, this is the New York Islanders. You've been playing one-goal games every single game of this series. They rout you by three, and then you got them in double overtime. You've got to finish them. You cannot let them win this game and take the 3-2 lead in the series.
Yeah, that move by Jarry was quite jarring. Like, you don't hit the puck in the traffic. If anything, get into an empty part of the ice, reset the offense, reset the defense, and go from there. That loss is definitely on him.
Jarry was jarring. Are you going for a Woody Page maneuver here, Justin Tinsley? I'm not sure if you've got the veteran chops to pull it off. Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I was afraid for a second there. If you haven't seen it, go find a viral video of Brooks Koepka, the golfer, sort of rolling his eyes as he's doing an interview and sort of cursing the name of Bryson DeChambeau a little bit as Bryson sort of walks by them and you overhear him talking about his golf game. Look, this video was leaked, not by who, but it was Golf Channel video, and I would like to give the person who leaked it a raise, frankly, because setting this rivalry on fire by letting this video out does more for golf than anything. Yeah, maybe some people won't like Brooks Koepka. I already didn't like Brooks Koepka, but now I'm going to watch him play every single time Bryson DeChambeau is in the same tournament. In fact, I will watch the post-match interviews as well. This was great. Good for golf, even though Bryson didn't really do anything wrong there, did he?
All right, so you say give a raise to the person who, it could go the other way for them. That's all I'm saying, the person who leaked it. All right. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.